Welcome to Paignton Baptist Church. Welcome to everyone listening today, scattered across Torbay and beyond, but gathered by the Holy Spirit, centered on Jesus, welcomed by our loving Father in heaven. Let's pray. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your constant love and faithfulness. We thank you for this opportunity to be gathered together by your Spirit to worship you, to declare that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Speak your living word to us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is Jesus is King. Sing to you. So we sing together, you are beautiful beyond description.
Who can grasp your infinite wisdom?
Now Leslie is going to bring our reading from Acts.
Today's reading comes from Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 13 through to the end. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of Jesus, of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know after that I leave. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship.
Thank you, Leslie. This passage of scripture, perhaps more than any other in Acts, shows Paul's heart as a pastor, a shepherd of his flock. Paul knows that his time in the provinces of Asia, Bithynia, Galatia, etc., modern-day Turkey, has come to an end. He will not see his brothers and sisters in Ephesus again, And so he sends for the elders of the church to say a few last words and then to commit them to God. He spent 3 years with them. He loves them dearly. This passage means a lot to me personally, as Leslie and I have had to say goodbye to a number of church families over the years. And to the last church, this goodbye was said as their pastor for 11 years. We're not all called, to be church pastors, but I believe we can all learn from what Paul says as he pours out his heart for the Ephesian elders and their church family. I lived among you. You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. Paul's approach to his ministry was what we call incarnational. Just like Jesus before him, Paul lived among the people. They saw him close at hand, in real life, laughing, crying, rejoicing and suffering, working and resting. Despite his great calling and gifting, his great intellect and reputation, Paul was with them, doing life together. This is how we are all called to follow Jesus, with others. I served. Paul knew that Jesus calls us to be servants, his servants and servants of one another. Paul served the Lord with great humility and tears. As such an important and gifted man, he could have asked much of the church. He would have been offered much, but he chose to serve. It was emotionally costly, but Jesus too served in great humility and tears. How about us? I was severely tested. Paul, in accordance with his usual practice, started his ministry in Ephesus by preaching in the synagogue. He spoke boldly there for 3 months until some of the Jews opposed him and started to malign the way. Then he went into the lecture hall of Tyrannus and preached there daily for 2 years until everyone in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. No wonder he faced opposition. No wonder he was tested, but he kept going. Are you being tested? Do you face opposition? Are there some close to you who malign the way, who mock your faith in Jesus, who seek to stop you worshiping him? Keep going. I preached anything and everything. Paul did not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to the Ephesians. That was Paul's test. It wasn't clever ideas or impressive wisdom, the sort of thing expected in a lecture hall in this highly Greek-influenced culture. But anything helpful to real people in real life. Please forgive me and tell me if I miss the point. Preaching needs to be helpful. Paul also did not hesitate to proclaim the whole will of God. He preached everything. He didn't miss out the difficult bits, the controversial bits, the mysterious, and the downright challenging bits. Are you tempted to miss bits of the Bible out? To skate over challenging commands? Or do you miss God's wonderful promises because there's always something more important to do than read his word? I preached the exclusive, inclusive gospel. Paul declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. It is right to preach anything and everything, but above all, don't forget the core of the gospel. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. As Peter said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. He said that at the beginning of Acts in chapter 4. The gospel is exclusive in that there is no other savior. No other belief system can save you. The gospel is inclusive in that everybody is wanted by God to come to repentance and faith in Jesus and become part of his family. You may be feeling, that's all very well for you. You're trained as a preacher. But Jesus commands us all, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to go out and share our faith with others. We can all memorize and share this scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3, verse 16. Paul reminds them in verse 20 that he taught publicly and from house to house. Acts 20:20, 20:20 vision. We can have this same approach with preaching in our public gatherings in Winner Street or outside on the streets like we did in Victoria Square at Christmas. But also, each of us can share our stories, witness to what Jesus has done for us in our homes. I never stopped warning. Throughout his 3 years in Ephesus, night and day, with tears, Paul never stopped warning the members of the church. What did he warn them about? Perhaps two things. Firstly, that without the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus, there can be no escape from judgment. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. We need a savior. A member of our church recently commented to me that we hear much about the joy of eternity with God in heaven. But what about those who refuse to come to Jesus for forgiveness? Paul would have warned all the people in Ephesus and the whole province of Asia that the wrath of God was coming upon sin. That eternal separation from God in hell is a reality. What do we think about this? Do we believe it? Do we warn those who are separated from God now and will stay that way eternally? How do we warn? With tears? The second thing is, I think that Paul, as a good shepherd concerned for his sheep, warned the believers not to listen to anyone who distorts the truth, seeking to draw disciples to follow them, not Jesus. We know that Paul was right. After his death, all sorts of people have come along, distorting the truth of the gospel. It still happens today. So be on your guard, just as Paul says. I worked hard. Paul is not showing off when he says, these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. He is reminding the elders of the example he has set for them, following the example of Jesus, who himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul has practiced what he preached. He'd said to the Thessalonians, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We do not work hard to gain God's favor, but because we've been loved so much by Jesus. Paul shows us that we who have energy, strength, material possessions, must help the weak. Finally, I commit you. Paul is very concerned about the church. What more can he do to help them? He can't do anything more, but God can. And so he commits them to God and to the word of his grace. When we've done everything we can for people, we can commit them into God's hands. We'll do that in a moment as we pray. So what was the response of the Ephesian elders to Paul's address? The elders loved Paul. They all wept, hugged him, and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement they would never see his face again. They knelt down and prayed together. They humbled themselves before their Lord. In 2021, may we commit ourselves to deepen our fellowship with one another. We do not know when we will see each other face to face again, and so let us make the most of every opportunity to express our love for one another. May we too humble ourselves before the Lord and pray together more earnestly for His grace. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to live transparent, real lives in the place you have set us. Help us to serve and to work in your strength. Give us the courage and the words to share the good news of Jesus and to warn others of the dangers of ignoring Jesus and of straying away from his truth. Take some time now to commit to the Lord those for whom he has given you a deep concern. Paul had a little idea of what was coming in Jerusalem, but he didn't really know what lay ahead. And we don't either, but there is someone who does. And so our closing song is an expression of faith in our Lord, who loves us and will take us into the future. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.